Log Talk Radio.
I don't know what the problem is, but anyway, we'll try and see what happens. You're going to get this worked out. This is the 14th of December, the middle of the month. And, of course, here are the birthdays today. Those of you who are into the end of the world and these predictions from the 15th century, today is the birthday of Nostradamus, or his name was Michel de Nostradamus. And, of course, some of the things that's controversial, some of the things are interpreted as having happened either to people who are into these type of forecasts. Also today, the first black who was to achieve political office in 1829, John Mercer Langston. Also today, on this birthday, George VI, the father of the present Queen Elizabeth II, he was the Duke of York, and when his brother was forced to abdicate, King Edward VIII, who was never crowned, George VI had two daughters. He was happy. He didn't want to be king. He was the Duke of York, and he died of cancer in 1952 while his daughter was on a tour of the Commonwealth. He saw her off the airport, and she was called back. He had died, and she became the Queen of England. I remember at school we had the little TVs. Since our school was run by French Canadian nuns, we had to sit around the TV and watch the delayed coronation of Queen Elizabeth II. Probably one of the most famous aviators and generals in U.S. history in World War II, James Dewitt, was born today. An interesting connection with him, DeWitt, General DeWitt, who was the general on the West Coast here after Pearl Harbor, who promoted the relocation of any of all the Japanese on the West Coast. This did not apply to Hawaii. And he and General Doolittle, James Doolittle, went to school together, I think, in Los Angeles. Among the most famous U.S. senators in this modern history was Margaret Chase Smith from Maine, state of Maine. She succeeded her husband. She was a moderate Republican, and she was the one who stood up to Joe McCarthy, Senator Joe McCarthy's excesses. And she thought of as a vice presidential candidate at one time. Those of you who remember Spike Jones, he's born today. The guy who wrote, "I Left My Heart in San Francisco," a lot of people left a lot of other things in San Francisco. That was Leo N. Wright, was born today. And then the first black to win the Heisman Trophy back in 1939, Ernest Davis, was born today. And then among the deaths, in 1542, James, who was the husband of Mary, Queen of Scots, he was homosexual, and he was murdered, assassinated, I think, with his lover, a young page. Also, George Washington, the first president, died in 1799 on this date. And then Albert, Prince, consort of Queen Victoria, he died. I think he had typhoid fever. Guy who had a great gravelly bass voice, Gregory Rutoff, he died today. Those of you who remember William Bendix, The Life of Riley, also I think he was in the film with Frederick Marsh about veterans who returned, handicapped veterans, injured veterans who returned from World War II, I think The Days of Our Lives. Great film about how handicapped veterans had to become accustomed to try to live a normal life after losing their hand. In fact, there's a guy who was in Nova Scotia, was in the U.S. Marine Corps, and while he was handing munitions, both his hands were blown off. He died recently, 90 years old. Probably one of the most influential of American journalists and columnists and friends, presidents and consular. I could say he was a real journalist, along with the Alsop brothers. Walter Lippmann, died today in 1974. We don't have his type today, but we have our propagandists. Then in 1825, the beginning of the uprising in Russia, which led to the Communist Revolution, the Decemberist uprising against Tsar Nicholas I. He was the father of Nicholas II, who lost the Japanese, the Russo-Japanese War. Also, his army was defeated by the Germans in World War I. He was the father of Nicholas II. And then Raoul Amundsen, the Norwegian explorer, he reached the South Pole on this day in 1915. There's another famous black, Jack Johnson, the first black heavyweight champion, and he had a white woman as his girlfriend or even wife, and he was ostracized at the time for this, and he was accused of, I think, violating the Mann Act. And then in 1937, we had Japan's Rape of Nanking, famous book, and also a movie, how the Japanese in the Chinese-Japanese War, which also with Japanese bombed the U.S. gunboat to Panay, did a lot of atrocities, got away with it. German warfare was dropped on the Chinese, and what they did when they defeated the Chinese armies under the generalship of General Lissimo Chiang Kai-shek, when it came to Nanking, they brutally slaughtered the population, raped the women, mutilated. There were even some homosexual incidents, which you don't hear too much about, homosexual rape by Japanese soldiers. And also on this day, 1939, this wily bishop, Makarios, Greek Orthodox, became president of Cyprus. It's another case of why church and state should remain separate. This guy caused a lot of problems because there was these battles, political battles, and also actual battles between Greeks and Turks. And Greece and Turkey had this long, ongoing battle after the British left Cyprus. Questions should be asked today about the Sandusky alleged pedophile case. I didn't get to change the items today, but anyway, questions should be asked. I don't know what the Pennsylvania law was at the time. is, or did Sandusky, if he did these things, I say, if he did these things as accused by, as he's charged by his accusers, did he, he's accused of raping a boy in the shower, did he use a condom? What was his condition of his health? Did he have communicable disease, like from a minor thing, from a flu, cold, gonorrhea, herpes, transmissible disease? And if he did, and if some one or more of his alleged victims were infected, is this one of the reasons why they may not have come forward? Because we keep hearing there are more victims. And, of course, male rape is still something that is so horrible to a lot of victims that they are ashamed even to admit that it happened, even though they're the victims and they have legal recourse if they want to pursue it. But these are the issues that should be raised. Did Sandusky, he have any communicable disease at the time he allegedly raped these boys? Now, in California, and I don't know about some of the other states, I would think that this applies, that even if a guy wears a condom and rapes somebody, that's still rape, and that still doesn't excuse what the perpetrator did. And this came up in the Steve Mary case, and, of course, these things were conceded. Now, this is interesting. In Northern California, we've had several male rape cases involving a case in San Jose, the Joey Palma case, involving a guy named Brian Henry, not related, we don't think, to the outgoing corrupt sheriff here in San Francisco, Mike Hennessy. This Brian Hennessy had raped this Joey Palma. He hung around these youth centers where kids played basketball and pinball and all that sort of thing. And the kid was 16 or 17 at the time, and I've seen his autopsy. His autopsy sent him autopsy was sent to me by the defense lawyers, and we'll publish the rest of that. But in the Steve Mary case of Juan Pifre, the rapist, he had assaulted other young military recruits and other young men, and they concealed his communicable disease status. And he was a cocaine addict. We don't know if there were needle marks on him. We know there was cocaine in the system because that surprisingly was in the autopsy. We don't know all his genital region. When an autopsy is done, it has to be thorough. And whether there's problems, like if the person is the male, is circumcised, is uncircumcised, if he has two testes, any problem in that part of the body, the genital urinary tract, all that was concealed in the autopsy. And when Dr. Dryzak, who was the medical representative of U.S. Navy Chief Stephen Merrick, asked whether or not Pifre had AIDS, it was concealed by Farrell Townsend and Kevin Ryan, a corrupt judge at the time. And that is concealment of exculpatory evidence, as they say. Now, these questions need to be asked of Sandusky, and also fine the guy who's accused, if it's true, that he molested boys, ball boys, and call them up at Syracuse, and there's a case at Colgate University also. So this is going to be very interesting. Now, on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, it should be up in the next couple of days. We're today, but we're a little behind. History has come full circle with the relocation of the Japanese ethnics who were here in California after Pearl Harbor. This is very interesting. The site that they were ordered to report to by the executive order of the president, and of course, at the time, Governor Earl Warren, who later was appointed Chief Justice of the United States. He was also one of the moving public officials encouraging the president, urging the president to order the relocation of the Japanese from the West Coast. People of Japanese ancestry, because they presented a military threat, sabotage, political threat, all of that. And anyway, the site that they were ordered to today is the site owned by Toyota. So history has come full circle. It may be a very dark circle, but it's come full circle. Look it up. It should be up on our AM. MICUSVERITAS YouTube site. Among the other things is that the general who was in command on the West Coast here, DeWitt, even he was one of the people, movers, who urged President Roosevelt to order the relocation of the Japanese. And they, I don't know what happened to the pets of the Japanese who were relocated had at the time, but I understand they could only take with them to the camps what they could carry. But what's interesting is, at the same time, General DeWitt permitted Sally Stanford, a madam, to set up a brothel here in San Francisco. So remove one and set and allow another one in its place, in a way. And, of course, there was the danger of venereal disease, gonorrhea, syphilis, and the military is always concerned about that, and we'll get into that another day. Now, they are concerned about AIDS, and there are more and more cases we hear from military veterans that one of the reasons their medical discharge is because guys who are engaged in various sexual activity are coming down with venereal disease or AIDS or herpes, that kind of thing. So it's important. Now, again, what's the matter with the focus of the Occupy movement? There are people in that movement who have what I call have been economically dislocated. They could get their houses, they're living with friends or on the street or in shelters where there are shelters. They're less in San Francisco. We don't even use our armory for shelters. Instead, it's turned over to an S&M outfit called Studio 2000 or indescribable. Sexual activities go on that are videotaped. It's horrible. But every other city, especially in the wintertime or disasters, opens their National Guard armories. San Francisco doesn't and hasn't. Now, what some people think, political corners, you think that the Occupy Wall Street movement, so-called, should start focusing on these bogus profits who have not accounted for billions of dollars that federal administrations, starting from LBJ on through Nixon, through Carter, Kennedy, all of them, Ford, were set aside, funds were set aside to help people, whether they, to help them with housing, medical care, job retraining, or job training. What happened to a lot of that money? Because you can't have audits. Maybe that's, we think, don't exist in a lot of these cases. But this should be the focus of the Occupy movement. That where is the money that was the government allocated for them over these years, these various so-called 501c3 non-profit organizations? And so there's a thing called QUETAM, which dates back to the Civil War when Abraham Lincoln, the Union Army was being sold. They were killing 5,000 horses a month, people like General Custer, which known as horse killers. And the government was being sold bad horse flesh in a sense. And Lincoln pushed through a law called QUETAM, which meant that anybody who sold defective products or didn't fulfill the full terms of the contract could be sued. And that law is still in effect today. Is called QUETAM. It's also a state law, QUETAM. And this is available. This is a source of recovering funds that have been misappropriated or stolen, not accounted for. And this is surprising that why some of these lawyers complain they don't have business, haven't gone after some of these bogus nonprofits for not accounting for the billions of dollars that they have gotten, some of them have gotten over the years. In fact, we only know one major nonprofit called the East Los Angeles Community Union Telecue back in the 80s was finally out of business as a nonprofit, and because they didn't account for millions of dollars. Some people, I think, to jail, there should be more today who belong in prison and should recover that money. So the state of California is complaining they don't have enough money, and Jerry Brown is saying we got to raise taxes. The question is, why haven't they gone after the money that's out there, but that's been acquired illegally or not accounted for by these bogus nonprofits? We don't know how many millions of dollars can be recovered and help refill the coffers of the state and less tax burden on the taxpayers who are already overtaxed. Now, there are media people who've got condos, and we'll get into that, and we'll show real estate documents. And one Dirty Dennis in particular, a guy who wrote for a legal newspaper called The Recorder, he's involved in the railroad of Stephen Neri, U.S. Navy sailor. There are other people who got condos, affordable on the condos, which we call genteel graft. There are other examples of this. There are also elites who got money that they weren't entitled to because they're not even citizens. So we'll be back Friday with updated stuff, and then hopefully we'll give you some more focus on the Occupy movement. There's some other issues out there that need to be addressed, and you know, it's interesting. This thing started in Vancouver, British Columbia, and it's spread all over the West Coast and as far east as the port of Houston, Texas, which is down there in the oil-producing region of the Gulf, as they call it. And, of course, whatever happened to BP? I understand putting ads on TV telling you can come to the Gulf, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, Louisiana, and the implications of it all cleaned up. Of course, people I know, I'm buying what they call Gulf shrimp or any fishing down there. I have no intention of going even near the Gulf because I'm not convinced that it has been cleaned. So we're going to end a bit early today. And let's still say that the Republicans, people are getting tired of these debates. Maybe they should all sit down and have a big poke game, and whoever wins takes the pot in the nomination. I thought, maybe correctly, that Mormons, I know they don't drink, say they don't drink, although I'm the Mormon girlfriends who drink quite a few things. I know that they gamble. But, you know, and if Romney should go back and look at what his father, what happened to his father when he, during the Vietnam War, when he said he was brainwashed, and that killed his credibility in the media and in the public. So Romney better be careful about making statements. And if he wants a nomination, my sources tell me that he is designated to get the Republican nomination and for president. We'll see what happens. The also thing we should not forget is Reverend Jim Jones may be dead, but his influence still pervades the media. And these are part of the cover-ups. And one reason Jones got away with as much as he did, as long as he did, and how he did, was because of his influence, pervasive as it was, in the media. And there were real journalists at the time who tried to get their editors to publish all these allegations about Reverend Jim Jones, which later turned out to be awfully true. They wouldn't do it. So, and we still see this today, that we have not only pedophiles, people who have court judgments against them, you can't dispute that because they didn't appeal it, even they endorse these people for public office. This is how bad the Jim Jones influence is still. And we believe, and at the time, during the 70s, I remember that I heard all the stories from my ex-girlfriend and my brother, who was involved in Jim Jones back east and got disentangled himself. He saw what a freak this guy was, how Jim Jones was selling young, you could get anything you want. That was his statement. When he was running the San Francisco Housing Authority, to come in of the corrupt mayor, George Moscone, who appointed him to that position, that what was going on in San Francisco Housing Authority was they were fencing goods, stolen goods, drugs, prostitutes, selling boys and girls, and drugs. And it's credible that we believe, and I keep hearing, that they may have been using the vices, playing on the vices of some of these media people by providing them with whatever they were interested in, drugs or young children. So that's something that I guess we'll never get the full story of that, but that's people who were around at the time and political cognoscenti who knew what was going on and tried to get the media at the time to publish all these things. And, of course, it happened. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Sandusky controversy. It is set by political cognoscenti, and I'm one of those who believe that if Sandusky case happened here in San Francisco, Northern California, given what has happened with Jim Jones and the perverse influence that he had in the media, that Sandusky probably would have, the case would have been well buried if again, assuming all these allegations, even part of them, are true and accurate. It's going to be interesting to see what comes out of this. But we have seen what's happened in the Steve and Mary case, U.S. Navy sailor case, the Joey Pullman case down in San Jose, California, other cases where young males have been raped. And also in the San Francisco Unified School District, we have the case of two lesbian gym teachers who allegedly raped a young girl in the showers of the gym. And also boys have been raped. So these things go on. So we'll end with our usual thing that, again, I think we ought to have the poker game. So here goes.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big Ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the sound?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll fold.
I'll fold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Say, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Pride, I hope on Yushinkovic. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot, that's me!
Politics and poker, politics and poker. Play for a pot, that's mediocre. Politics and poker, running neck and neck. If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can.
Clowns, Peter Paul, Pizzola. We'll be back Friday at 4 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Good night, and thank you for listening. This will remain up on the international internet. Good night.